Our reading is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verses 1 to 12. Jesus has risen. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He isn't here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.' Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they didn't believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. I don't know if this is the first Easter you've celebrated in this church or if you've been doing this for decades, but we want to find something fresh this morning. So shall we just pause and pray? If you've got little ones and they're happy to stay near you, we've only got a few minutes together to listen to this kind of unpacking of this amazing story, and then we're going to move on to other parts of our service. So let's just pause and just pray for a moment, and we just say, Lord Jesus, we remember this morning that you are alive. And we pray that you would speak that news in a fresh way to each of us this morning, whether we're young or whether we're old. Amen. Amen. Well, it's a story. It's a very short story from me this morning. We've got four pictures, three verses, and a bit of a challenge. Do you think you can stay with me for that? So they're pictures that match the story you've already had, so that's helpful, isn't it? And here's our first picture. I love this picture because these women look troubled. Sometimes in the paintings, if you go on Google and you Google the women going to the tomb, you get some very odd pictures. But these women look real and they look troubled, and they should look troubled because they have witnessed the death of Jesus. They've seen him go and they're troubled. They're witnesses to his death, and yet it says in our reading on the first day of the week, it's the first time they could do it under the law because the day before was the Sabbath. The first day of the week, the women take the spices very early in the morning and they go to the tomb. They're carrying out a tradition, something that in their country was the normal thing to do for somebody who had died, to take spices and herbs to the body to go and visit. They were honouring their tradition. They were doing the best thing that they knew to do for the friend that they had lost. But let's not forget that these women are in a dark place. They're in darkness because they're in mourning. They have spent time with this Jesus. They've heard his promises. They've seen his miracles. And they've watched him die. They're walking in darkness and they don't have him with them anymore. They're bewildered, and all they've got now is their ritual and their patterns and a question. What's going on? What's happening? So the first picture reminds us that we too, without Jesus, are walking in darkness. The Bible says that we walk in darkness, that we don't have the light of life with us, that in a very real sense we're separated from God, that we don't see him as we should, as we were created to. And yet, because of what this verse says, that there is a tender mercy in the heart of God for every single one of us here this morning, he has done something about that darkness. People like us, living in the fear and the shadow of death and living in darkness, our tender, kind, loving and merciful God has done something. And what has he done? He has sent a son. And the women are about to find out why this is good news. So our next picture. Does she look a bit startled? I think she does. Would you look a bit startled if you went to a cemetery or a grave and you saw a bright shining light where you'd expected a body, where you went expecting to be crying and mourning, and suddenly there's this stunning sight in front of you? In this account in Luke, this lady doesn't see Jesus yet, but she does see some angels. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? She sees this wonderful sight. She sees light breaking into her darkness. That is the light that comes with the resurrection of Jesus, a light that breaks in because he has risen. He is not here. Our verses said, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you. The angel saying to her, do you remember Jesus told you this? He promised you this. Do you remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. They had forgotten, or they couldn't quite believe it, or they couldn't grasp it. They didn't know where to turn. And yet suddenly, this truth is in front of them. He had come. He had said this would happen. And now he has done it. So I just wanted to spend a moment thinking about what that means. What does it mean that he said that he could do it, and then he did it? He said that he would rise again, and he did rise again. That we can stand here this morning and celebrate a Jesus who was dead, but who has been raised to life again. Well, I'm going to pick three things. You might want more than that. You might have a longer list. But I want to start this by saying that, you know, we often sing a song here, and it's a very meaningful song for us. Well, we sing about God's love for us, and we sing, I am who you say I am. But what this resurrection tells us is that he is who he says he is. That he is Lord. He is God. He can overcome the ultimate defeat. He is who he says he is. Three quick things that it reminds us about today. The first is that it tells us that Jesus really is the Son of God. He really is the Son of God. He is not a good man, he is the God-man. And we have to read now all the work of the gospel stories in the light of that revelation that he is God. No other man could do this. Secondly, death is not the end. We no longer live under the shadow of the threat of death that came at the beginning of time. Jesus has beaten death itself. Death could not hold him. And he's overcome the fear of death, which has overshadowed people without God. The mercy course tells us this. It tells us that for us to be really frightened of something and for it to be dangerous to us, we have to have a fear that is both present and that it's powerful. It has to be present with us and it has to have some power over us. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, death may still be present among us, but it no longer has any power over us. And finally, you may think this morning, this is the most important thing. If Jesus can be raised from the dead, then he can do that other thing he promised. He can forgive us our sins, the very sins that mean that we walked in darkness before, that we didn't have the light of the presence of God with us. But because of the tender, caring mercy of God, because of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, because he's now raised, we can believe that he has carried our sins for us. And you know, elsewhere in the New Testament, it tells us how important it is that Jesus was buried. He didn't just jump back to life straight away. Because he's demonstrated to us that he's carried our sins on that cross. And he's taken them with him into death. And he's left them there. And he has been raised into new life. When we are baptized, we are buried with him in baptism. We're raised to new life without that sin over us. He has the power to give us our sins. And so this next slide. I just wanted to hold this up for us this morning as a promise over us. Some of us can remember this promise. Some of us may not yet have stepped into the truth of this promise. Some of us may need to say it this morning. Some of us may need to recognize this invitation. But the truth is that Jesus has been raised. And so this verse, this is from Romans 10. It says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, in other words, you say, I believe he is who he said he is, that he is God. And you believe in your heart that God really has raised him from the dead. Then you will be saved. That's the step that God's given us. That's the only step we have to do to enter into this salvation that Jesus has won for us. And it's for all of us. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus, we believe that you're Lord. And you believe in your heart, yes, you are a God man. God has raised you. You have triumphed over death. You have proved that you are who you say you are. Then you will be saved. And finally, I was looking at some kintsugi pictures. Kintsugi images are images of usually it's pottery that's been broken and it's been repaired with gold. And it's an image people often use to talk about brokenness and healing. But I wanted to use the heart image, the heart kintsugi image this morning to show that at the heart of all this is a God who loves us so much that he has done everything to win us back to himself so that we no longer need to walk in darkness. But he's not only just repaired us, he's restored us. He's brought us back to the place we were created to be in relationship with him. And so here's this promise for us who believe. On this resurrection morning, when we see that power so clearly demonstrated at the raising of Jesus, we have this amazing promise that that power is the same as the mighty power that he exerted when he raised Jesus from the dead. That power that he gives to us is the power that raised Jesus from the dead. The power that is in this church, in the body of believers, in the kingdom of saints, is the power that raised Jesus from the dead. That's the power that he has put in each and every one of us when we've declared that he is Lord. That is the power that we have to change the world. The world needs to be rescued from darkness. We only have to look at the news, even this morning, to see how dark the world is, how much it's suffering, how much pain there is, how much the people still walk in darkness without the knowledge of their relationship with their loving Father. And God has put the treasure in the church of this resurrection power to make a difference. We've been hearing stories, and I want to share this with you finally. We've been hearing stories of huge encouragement in this nation. Huge encouragement of hundreds of people turning to Jesus. Hundreds of people coming on Alpha. Hundreds of young people, people in their 20s, responding to an invitation to hear the good news of Jesus. Because Christian believers equipped by this power have gone to places they haven't gone before and have opened their doors and said, come and we'll tell you about this Jesus. Friends, we don't want to keep it in here, do we? We want to break this light out so that it's out there, but we can't do it on our own. We know how hard it can be and how hard it can seem. But on this resurrection morning, church, I want us to remember that this resurrection power is the power that God has given us so that we can bring this light, this hope, to this dark world. We are invited to play our part. The women at the tomb, it's fantastic that God allows women to be the first. And the women at the tomb have this revelation and they take what they've seen and they tell it to somebody else. And other people get drawn into the story and then it begins to cascade out, doesn't it? That is the challenge for us today. If you've come here this morning and you don't know Jesus, that simple promise is for you that if you declare with your mouth today that Jesus is Lord, maybe during the communion part of our service, you choose to believe in your heart by faith that God raised him from the dead, you can be saved this morning. But for those of us that have known him for a long time, his challenge to us is to reach out to him for this resurrection power so that we can share it outside with more and more people. I wonder if you believe that that's possible. We can only believe it because of that power at work in us in the first place. So let's just pause and let's just pray for a moment. So that promise is in Scripture, so it's a promise that we can stand on. So along with that New Testament writer, Lord, my prayer for us this morning is that you will give us a revelation of the power of the resurrection in our lives, a power to forgive us from our sin, a power to restore us to new life because of your love for us, a power to equip us to take this good news out to a world that walks in darkness and to be bringers of hope and life. Lord, would you shed your power abroad in this church this morning in the mighty risen name of Jesus. Amen.